Ladies and gentlemen, the BBC presents Life with the Lions.
It was Shakespeare who said, "She's not well married that lives married long," which translated means marriage is like a bath. It's not so hot after you get used to it. But like many others, our old friend Ben has a completely different outlook on the subject. So let's drop in on the sage of Southwick Street to hear about it.
Well, I think marriage should be treated as a business with two partners working together for the good of the firm. For example, when B.B. overspent a housekeeping allowance by £5, I merely said, "Honey, if you keep that up, you'll ruin the firm." And believe me, she'll never do it again.
Oh, Mrs. Lyon, why are you looking so worried?
I've overspent my housekeeping allowance by £18.
£18?
Well, gosh, Ma, I thought food had gone down.
Yes, but skirts have gone up.
But you promised your husband not to use your housekeeping allowance for clothes.
Well, I know, Aggie.
Now I know why I've been getting so many nasty looks from the tradespeople. And this morning, the milkman said he was going to cut off my yogurt.
And that could be very painful.
Richard, this is nothing to joke about. If your father finds out I haven't paid the bills, he'll be furious.
Well, if you don't ask him for the money, we'll be having nothing but cheese for dinner.
Yes, then he's sure to smell a rat.
Why don't you tell him, Mrs. Lyon? After all, he promised you the dress. Any reasonable man would understand.
That settles it. I won't tell him.
Then I'll away and look up some cheese dishes.
Oh, Baby, do you know where my golf bag is?
Oh, I do, Pop. I'll get it for you.
Oh, darling, before you leave, I wonder if you could change £5 for me.
Let's see. No, I've only got £2 on me.
Oh. Oh, well, that's all right. Give me the £2, and you can owe me three.
Well, here you are, honey.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart. Now, have a good game.
Hey, wait a minute. What about that £5 note?
Well, surely. If I can trust you for £3, you can trust me for five.
Phoebe, you've overspent your housekeeping money again. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
I hope not. But, darling, remember you promised me an evening gown?
That's right.
Well, I looked at one yesterday and it was £18. I hope you're not angry.
Of course not, darling. Go back and look at it as much as you like.
Here's your golf bag, Pop, but I think it's going to rain.
Well, if it does, I'll be home early. Thanks, son. Goodbye, honey.
Bye, Pop.
Goodbye, darling.
Well, Ma, did you tell him?
No, but I got £2.
You know, I read an article in a magazine the other day that said all happy marriages were based on trickery. Now I believe it.
That's not so. I intend to tell your father, but I want to wait until he's in a right mood.
Mother, you'll never believe what's happened. Oh, Mother.
What's the matter, darling? Is it bad news?
I've had a fight with Russell.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. And I'm coming back to live with you.
Boy, that is bad news.
Richard, please. Barbara, tell me what happened.
Well, it all started just because I have a few flowers growing in the house.
A few? You've got plants growing in every room.
Every room?
Yes, in that room, too.
Well, that's not a major tragedy. What did he say to you, dear?
He told me he was tired of looking at my polyanthus. And he couldn't move for my abrasions. And he'd like me to get rid of my blooming agapanthus.
Boy, this is racy stuff.
Now, Richard, that's enough. Go on, Barbara.
Tell Ma about that dinner he cooked for himself Thursday night.
Well, it wasn't my fault. He fried himself tulip bulbs instead of onions.
Oh, Barbara, he didn't.
Oh, yes. And then he sprinkled them with poppy seeds instead of pepper.
Oh, that's awful.
Oh, yes. I wanted to plant those poppy seeds.
Darling, there's one thing I'd like to say before this goes any further.
Yes.
Don't let it go any further.
Oh, but Mother...
Now, go home, and when he comes back, tell him you're going to give half those plants away.
All right, I'll tell him. But I'm not going to speak to him.
I've never seen Barbara so upset.
Oh, don't worry, dear. They'll both forget all about it by tonight.
Well, just in case, I think I'd better go over and help them patch things up.
All right, but don't let them know why you've gone over.
Oh, I won't, Ma. I know how to handle this problem.
Hello, Miss Lyon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Turner. Would you care for some tea?
No, thank you. But would you kindly remove these cactus plants from my chair?
I think you're mean. I was only trying to make our house look pretty.
Oh, I'm sorry, sweetheart. But you pay more attention to these darn things than you do to me.
Oh, so that's it. Oh, you silly old snapdragon.
Mind if I have a kiss?
I mind very well. Now, who in the world can that be?
Well, I'll see, darling.
Oh, no, I'll get it, sweetheart. Oh, hello, Richard.
Oh, hi, Barbara. Well, aren't you going to ask me in?
Since when do you have to be asked?
Hello, Russell.
Hi, Rich. Pull up a cactus and sit down.
Well. Thank you very much. I just dropped over to have a little chat.
Well, good.
Well, here we are.
Well, well, well. Yes, indeed. Well, well, well.
Yes, yes. Well, well, well.
When you get to the bottom of the well, may I say something?
Oh, sure.
What's on your mind?
Well, I really came over to borrow the lawnmower.
But it's pouring with rain.
It is? Well, well, well.
Richard, why do you want to mow the lawn when it's raining cats and dogs?
I want to give it a poodle cut.
Now, suppose you give us your real reason for coming here.
Well, this is kind of hard to say, but you and Russell are my favorite sister and brother-in-law, and I hate to see you unhappy.
Well, that's darn nice of you, Richard.
So why don't you make up?
We have, darling.
Oh, good, good. I mean, what do you care if the place is cluttered up with a lot of silly plants?
They're not silly.
Look, Barbara, you're my sister, but a guy can get pretty fed up with those things all over the tables and the floor.
Yeah, they're on the walls, too.
Hey, you're right.
And in the cupboards. In fact, the confounded things are everywhere.
Oh, just a minute.
He's even got stuff planted in the chandelier.
Well, what do you know? Ferns and ivy growing out of the chandelier.
We ought to call this place the Hanging Gardens of Barbara Lyon.
From now on, I'm never going to speak to you again. You weed.
Now, look here, Barbara.
You heard me. The next time I speak to you, don't answer, because I won't be talking.
Very well.
Barbara,
And what do you want?
Oh, nothing. I just wanted to say I'm glad you two have made up. So long.
Well, son, did you find out which way the wind was blowing?
Yes, and I got the nastiest weather report since the Thames overflowed.
Oh, Richard, don't tell me they're still quarreling.
I'm afraid so, Ma. Oh.
Well, Master Richard, you did your best. Here's the tea, Mrs. Lyon.
Oh, thank you, Aggie.
You can't blame Russell for not wanting to live in a greenhouse.
Well, darling, she doesn't complain about his hobby, and he's always sawing things and hammering.
Aye, but she does.
Well, the trouble with most young married couples today is they seem to forget they have someone else to consider, and they can't do exactly as they please anymore.
You mean you can have more fun if you don't get married?
I'd be a fool to answer that.
Oh, young couples nowadays expect too much. Your father's right, Master Richard. When you're single, there's only the one person to think of. Then you get married and it's a twosome. And in a year or so, it's a threesome. Maybe even a foursome.
A foursome? How awesome.
Well, don't worry, son. There's nothing wrong with marriage if you give it a chance. But you've got to learn to give as well as take.
Why don't you go over and tell Barbara and Russell that?
Oh, not on your life. Whenever you give a married couple advice, you always wind up as the villain.
Yes. Oh, then why don't we invite them over to dinner? You don't casually bring up a few problems we had to face when we first got married.
No, honey. That would be entirely too obvious. We need someone outside the family to bring up the subject.
Then I'll invite Florrie over to be the cat's paw.
Well, she's got the puss for it.
Ben, you mean you're going to ask Mrs. Wainwright to dinner as a kind of subterfuge?
That's right.
But, Pop, I always thought a subterfuge was something you wanted to cover up.
That's right.
Now, Ben, that's quite enough. I'm going over and ask Florrie. And you phone Barbara and Russell and invite them.
All right, honey. Oh, hello, Florrie. I'm glad you got here before Barbara and Russell arrived.
Yes, now let's sit down and figure out exactly what we're going to do.
Well, I told BB I thought it would be a good idea if I started out by recalling the days when I was married. My dear husband and I were so happy together.
And it would certainly get over our point.
Yes, for 15 years our marriage was one of give and take. And then he passed away.
I guess he couldn't take what you were giving him.
Now, stop it, you two, and let's decide on what we're going to talk about.
I thought you were going to tell them the story about the carpet.
Oh, yes. Now, how did that go again?
Well, Ma wanted a red carpet, and Pop wanted a blue one. So they settled everything by getting a red carpet with a blue border.
Yeah, that's right. And I'll tell you something else. We bought this old carpet I'm standing on before you and Barbara were born.
Yes, but how are we going to lead into it without sounding obvious?
Oh, I know. Suppose I pretend to spill a drop of sherry on the carpet and apologize. Well, then, that would give you the opportunity to bring the subject up.
Yes, I could say, don't worry about that moth-eaten old relic.
Yes, and I could say, no, many's the time that old thing's been soaked in sherry.
Oh, that's perfect. And, Richard, when I start apologizing, be sure you speak up.
I will.
Hey, I can see them coming up the path. Now, let's show them what a happy home really means.
All right.
Hi, everybody.
Hello,
Barbara.
Hi.
Hello, darlings. Richard, help your sister off with her carpet. I mean your coat.
Well, sit down, you two. How about a little sherry before dinner?
Oh, I love wine.
Good. Here you are, Florrie.
Thank you, Ben, dear.
Russell, here's yours. And will you hand this one to Barbara?
Oh, thanks. Barbara, your father asked me to pass this to you.
Thank you.
And here's one for my sweetheart.
Ah, thank you, darling.
Oh, just listen to them, Russell. Married all these years and still calling each other sweetheart and darling.
I'm afraid my wife doesn't call me anything.
No, but I've been tempted to.
Well, of course, you know, there has to be give and take on both sides. Right, Barbara?
I guess so.
Oh, darling, you know so. Love, tolerance, and understanding. Those are the things that make a marriage stick. And for 27 years, I've been stuck with your father.
Sweetheart, I'm sure you meant that in the nicest possible way. Hey, Florrie, you aren't drinking your sherry.
Oh, no. Well, cheers, everyone. Oh, my goodness. I'm afraid I've spilled some sherry on your carpet. I said, I'm afraid I've spilled some sherry on your carpet.
And, Florrie, what are you shouting for?
I'm not shouting. I'm apologizing to your father.
Don't worry about that moth-eaten old relic.
Oh, you're right, Richard. Many's the time the old thing's been soaked in sherry.
What?
Oh, yes. In fact, it's time I start looking for a new one.
What?
Russell, they are talking about the carpet.
Oh, good. For a moment, you had me worried.
You know, we had this carpet for 25 years, but I'll never forget the day we bought it.
Neither will I. I wanted a red one, and you wanted a blue one.
You mean that's why you bought this red carpet with the blue border?
That's right, son. When you're married, you find out that's the only way to settle things.
How clever of you, Ben.
Mrs. Lyon, dinner is ready.
Oh, thank you, Aggie.
Come on, everybody. We're having coffee in the living room.
Oh, Russell and I will be with you in a minute, Mother.
Well, our little scheme works out like a charm. Have you ever seen two people so much in love?
Well, it's a toss-up between them and Romeo and Juliet.
Or those other famous sweethearts, Twister and Isolde.
Yeah. Those kids are going steady.
Coffee, Florrie?
Yes, please.
You want hot milk or cold milk?
Neither, dear. I like mine black.
I'm afraid we haven't any black milk.
No, you've got to have black cows for that.
This has been the most wonderful evening of my life.
I mean, it really has.
Oh, I'm so glad, dear.
Yes, she was hardly speaking to me.
Ah, oh, but darling, even when I hated you, I loved you.
What kind of talk is that?
You'll never know unless you're a wife.
Well, that's at least one thing I don't have to worry about.
Ben, I imagine it took you and Bibi years to reach such a perfect understanding.
No, as a matter of fact, I made it my business to understand her and develop a common interest right from the start. Mm-hmm. You see, Bibi was not only a motion picture star, but she was also one of the best bridge players on the West Coast.
Well, thanks.
Now, I'd never played a game of bridge in my life, but that didn't stop me.
Go on, Ben.
Well, it was at one of those fabulous parties at Pig Fair.
Oh, do tell us about it, Ben. I'm all agog.
Then listen, Gog. You see, it was in the summer of 1928. I'd only been in Hollywood a short time then, so you can imagine what a thrill it was to be invited to Pig Fair and meet all those famous stars I'd admired on the screen.
Yes, I still remember the old butler Marion Doug had. He had his own special way of announcing the guests as they arrived.
Yeah, the bigger the star, the louder he called out their name.
Charlie Chaplin, Miss Marlene Dietrich, Mr. Cary Grant,
Mr. Ben Lyon.
Say, this is quite a party.
Yes, Miss Pickford and Mr. Fairbanks, renowned for their party, sir.
Yes, I know. Say, that girl sitting at the table in the corner over there, isn't that Bibi Daniels?
That's right, sir. Do you know Miss Daniels?
No, but the evening's young. Hey, who's that tall, skinny fellow standing next to her?
That, sir, is Mr. Gary Cooper.
Oh, yes, of course. I didn't recognize him without his horse. I think I'll mosey over and join the party.
You're right, Gary. It's the best comedy Paramount's ever given me. But I need someone like Harold Lloyd to play opposite me.
Yep. You made a great team. But I reckon he's pretty tied up right now.
Yes. Besides, he's a big star.
Well, can't you think of anyone else who's got the know-how?
No, I'm afraid not. It has to be a man the audience will laugh at the moment they see him.
Oh, hello, Miss Daniels.
I think your search is over.
Do you mind if I pop into this conversation?
Nope, not if you pop right out again.
Very funny. Oh, by the way, my name's Ben Lyon.
Oh, well, sit down anyway.
Thanks. Hey, how come you're not playing bridge?
We can't find a fourth.
Well, I'd be delighted to play.
Good. Now all we have to do is find a third.
And how about me, my dear?
Charles Lawton. Oh, you're a darling.
You'll think anyone's a darling if they can play bridge. Oh, hello, Gary.
Hello there, Charles. Sit down.
Oh, Charles, I don't believe you've met Mr.
Ben Lyon, Bibi. Uh-huh. I've only been out here a few days, Charlie, old boy. I'm what they call fresh from New York.
Yes, we'd call you the same out here.
Well, let's cut for partners.
Queen of Spades.
Five of Diamonds.
Jack of Clubs.
Mr. Lyon, what card did you draw?
Oh, I got a red one.
Let's see. Three of Diamonds. You and Miss Daniels are partners.
Yep, and it's my deal.
You know, I'm starting a film with Sam Goldwyn next week. I've got a great part.
Good.
Well, the story's very sad, though. I rehearsed the whole thing yesterday and cried real tears. The director said he never saw such acting. He said it was really pitiful. But when the story finishes, everybody's very happy.
Including the audience.
Oh, yes. You know, someone even asked me for my autograph today.
This I don't believe. Two diamonds.
Two hearts.
I pass.
Mr. Lamb, it's your bid.
Me? Oh,
Are you going to support me or not?
Well, really, this is so sudden.
Are you going to support Miss Daniels' heart bid, or are you going to pass?
Well, let's see. I don't think I can help her very much. All I've got are a lot of black shamrocks.
Is that your best suit?
No, second best. My best one's at the cleaners.
Yeah. Too bad you're not in it. I pass.
I wonder if you'll excuse me, gentlemen, but I've got to be at the studio very early.
Yes, so have I.
Will you get your car while I get my wrap?
Oh, I'd be delighted.
I'm speaking to Mr. Cooper. Well, goodbye, Charles.
Good night, my dear.
Good night, Bibi.
Goodbye, Mr. Lyon.
Uh-huh.
Well, Russell, that's exactly what happened the first time I met BB.
I wouldn't say you swept her off her feet.
No, but I learned how to play bridge. And the next time I was her partner, she let me take her home in a taxi. And we sat in a cab and talked for 5 minutes.
Go on.
Well, the meter clicked, but I didn't.
Well, I'm not surprised, Ben. You certainly had a lot of competition with all those attractive men around.
Well, yes, they were attractive and they had wonderful physiques. And they were very intelligent. But Ben was different.
Well, thank you.
Nothing. Weren't you ever jealous of each other?
Oh, well, we only had one serious argument. It was about a week before we were engaged. Gary Cooper sent me some orchids, and your father was so mad. He went to Gloria Swanson's party without me.
What about Gary Cooper?
No, your father didn't take him either.
You know, when you look back, it's all pretty silly. There was no earthly reason to be jealous. It was absolutely childish.
Oh, yes. If you're in love, why, you should trust each other.
Oh, you're so right. Believe me, Russell and I have certainly learned a lot tonight. We're never going to be jealous or selfish again. Are we, darling?
No, sweetheart. And tomorrow, I'm going out to buy a book on how to raise flowers.
Ah, oh, and I'm going to get one on carpentry.
I'd rather get Gary Cooper. Love to marry that man.
Hey, look at the clock. I'm playing football tomorrow morning, so I'd better hit the hay. Good night, everybody.
Good night, darling.
Bye, son.
BB, didn't you ever see that tall, handsome Adonis again?
Oh, yes, about a month later. He was on location at the beach, and he dropped by the house to say hello.
Oh, excuse me, Mother, but I think we ought to go home. Russell has to be up early in the morning.
Yes, and I'd better be running along, too. I'd probably dream about that handsome Gary Cooper tonight.
Good night, Mother. Good night, Daddy.
Good night, darling.
Well, thanks again for a wonderful evening.
Oh, I'm glad you could come. You know, I think tonight did Barbara and Russell a lot of good. Don't you?
Phoebe, you never told me Gary Cooper dropped in at the beach house.
Well, I probably didn't think it was important. He was only there a few minutes.
Well, it seems very funny you just remembered it now.
Ben, don't tell me you're jealous about something that happened 28 years ago.
Of course not. You know I'm not jealous. I merely asked you a question. As far as I'm concerned, the incident is over, finished, forgotten.
Oh, good. You know, I'm absolutely dead tired tonight. I certainly will be glad to get to bed. What time is it?
28 years past Cooper.
What?
I mean, 28 minutes past 11.
Ben, you are jealous.
I am not, but I think you could have told me.
Oh, honestly, arguing about something that happened over a quarter of a century ago.
I don't care if it happened a quarter of an hour ago. It's the principle that counts. Suppose I hadn't told you about going to Gloria Swanson's party.
Look,
Ben. And suppose I hadn't told you about her driving me home.
You didn't.
Oh, well, she only did it because my car ran out of petrol.
It's a funny thing. You never ran out of petrol when I was with you.
Well, how could I? You always brought a spare tin with you.
Now, don't change the subject. Why didn't you do what any other decent man would have done? Get out and walk home. Good night, Mr. Lyon.
Good night, Miss Daniels.
What's new, darling?
Oh, Richard says Mother and Daddy are hardly speaking to each other. But they're coming to dinner tonight, so it's up to us. I'll get it.
Oh, hi, Barbara. Here are the chocolates, and you owe me 25 bob.
What's this in aid of?
Oh, they're Mother's favorites. Daddy's always buying them for her.
I hope that's not a hint.
Oh, no. I'd much rather have a kiss.
You mean you'd rather have a kiss than an expensive box of chocolates?
Of course. A kiss is worth much more than 25 shillings.
Gosh, and to think all these years I've been giving mine away.
Richard. Richard, you're lucky somebody would take them. Answer that, will you, Richard, honey?
Answer the door, Richard.
Hello, everybody.
Oh, hi.
Barbara, dear, here's the steak and kidney pudding. It's just the way your father likes it. And here's your mother's favorite salad.
Oh, thank you, Aunt Florrie.
Barbara, you haven't told us how we're going to work this when your mother and father come over.
Well, we're going to tell them a fictitious story about a couple named Mary and John Hathaway who were just about to celebrate their 30th wedding anniversary when they had a very silly quarrel. He died in an accident, and 2 days later, she committed suicide.
Wait a minute. When did we know the Hathaways?
Richard, the Hathaways aren't people. They're hypothetical.
Would you mind cutting that down where I can get at it?
Your sister means they're just two creatures out of her brain.
And I sure would hate to meet them on a dark night.
Never mind the jokes now. Just remember the story.
Yes, but we haven't decided how Mr. Hathaway met his end.
Well, why don't we say he fell in the river?
I think a horse would be better.
Why not say it was a car?
Well, it doesn't really matter what we say, as long as we follow each other's lead.
I'll get it. And I'll go and put the steak and kidney pudding in the oven.
Well, hello.
Yeah, how is everybody?
Well, how are you two this evening?
Well, I'm fine, but I wouldn't know about the other gentleman.
There's no need to ask her how I am. How would she know?
Well, if you'll excuse me, I'll take Aunt Florrie's salad out to the kitchen.
Oh, Barbara, what pretty pink hyacinths.
Hyacinths? Oh, yes. I drew those from some bulbs poor Mrs. Hathaway gave us just before she...
Before she what?
Oh, Ben, it's far too sad a story. It'll spoil this happy evening.
Who says it's happy? Go ahead and tell it.
Oh, thank you, Mother. Well, the Hathaways were old friends of Russell's parents.
Yes.
What a shame they had to quarrel just before their 30th wedding anniversary.
What did they quarrel about?
Oh, it was just one of those silly little arguments. But they didn't make up, and now it's too late.
Huh?
Oh, they would have made up, but he went fishing that morning. And they found him in the river.
Oh, how awful.
Oh.
Well, can I get anybody anything?
No, thank you, dear. Barbara's been telling us such a sad story about poor Mr. Hathaway.
Oh, yes, it sure was terrible the way he fell off that horse.
Horse? Barbara said he was drowned going fishing.
Oh, yes. He always went fishing on horseback. And he must have caught a pretty big fish and it pulled him in.
What was he fishing for, whales?
Now, Ben, what does it matter what country he was fishing for?
You know, his wife was so heartbroken. She lived only a few hours after she got the news.
Yes, poor Mrs. Hathaway.
Did I hear you say Hathaway?
Yes, Florrie. Isn't it terrible the way Mr. Hathaway was killed?
Yes, I was there at the time the motor car knocked him down.
Now, wait a minute. This is really a story.
You mean you don't believe it?
Not a word. But I think you were all darn nice to go to so much trouble to get us to make up. Don't you, Mrs. Lyon?
You bet I do, dollface.
And the next time Gary Cooper phones, tell him you've got a boyfriend.
I'll do that.
That was Life with the Lyons, with B.B. Daniels and Ben Lyon, with their daughter Barbara and their son Richard. Also in this recording were Doris Rogers, Molly Weir, Jack Watson, and Russell Turner. The incidental music was by Paul Fennelly, who also conducted the BBC Variety Orchestra. The script was by Bob Block, Ronnie Hanbury, and B.B. Daniels. Production by Tom Ronald.